Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The deadline to sign up for health insurance is March 31st. If you don't sign up by next Monday, you'll be fined $95 or 1% of your income, whichever is greater. The fine will be waived for several reasons, including religious beliefs or financial hardship. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, 5 million people have now signed up for insurance, and that number could reach 6 million by next week's deadline. Earlier this month, the Obama administration said about 25% of people age 18 to 34 have signed up, lower than the 40% target. And an Associated Press poll found that about one-fourth of the uninsured have tried to sign up. One of the problems is that so many people still do not have the information they need about the law. About 36% said they knew a lot or some about the health insurance exchanges, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. So with 1 week left to sign up for health insurance, we're opening the lines to take your calls. Have you signed up? What has your experience been like? Have you waited? Why? Are you deciding maybe you won't sign up? And what questions do you still have? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today, we're joined by Laura Lucia, policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, where she's been doing research related to the Affordable Care Act for more than 4 years. And she joins me here in studio. Hi, Laurel. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Emily Bazar, senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the health care law. And Emily joins us from Sacramento. Hi, Emily. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Great to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Laurel, I want to start off with you. I was watching one of the Sunday shows yesterday, and the Republicans are just going after this law still, saying that if we win in 2016, we're going to repeal this thing. And I was just reading an article in the Washington Post. I mean, if you live in a state where conservatives don't like the law, it's even hard to sign up. So, given the realities that we're facing right now, what's your assessment so far? 5 million people signed up. By next week, it could reach about six.
Well, my focus is on California, but first on a national level. Those numbers are still significant, especially considering the early troubles with healthcare.gov. And like you said, the experience does really vary by state. And we're really lucky here in California that things are going much more smoothly. And here in California, enrollment has actually exceeded expectations already, even before we're at the March 31st deadline. So there are 1 million Californians who signed up in a plan through Covered California, and there are 1.8 million additional Californians who have either enrolled in Medi-Cal or been determined eligible for Medi-Cal. We don't know yet how many of these Californians were previously uninsured, but it's likely that, you know, a significant share were. And among those who had another source of coverage, they may be finding more affordable coverage. And then, you know, there are also all of these Californians and Americans who have job-based coverage and are thinking, the law doesn't affect me. But what it means for those individuals is that they have the peace of mind that if they get laid off, there's an option out there besides COBRA.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, I highly recommend this Washington Post story, Seven States That Show Just How Hard It Is to Measure Obamacare's Success. Because, I mean, they look at a place like North Carolina, and they decided not to even build a state-run exchange.
Right. There are, I think, dozens of states that are relying on the federal exchange. You know, what you've probably heard is healthcare.gov.
Right.
And that has had a lot of glitches. In California, you know, there have been some delays and problems with the website here, but it's gone much more smoothly overall.
And Emily, how would you assess the overall success of the Affordable Care Act?
That's a big question. Like Laurel, my focus has also been on California. And I think it is significant that more than one people have already enrolled in California, which does beat their expectations or the goal that they set. But, you know, as Laurel said, it has been smoother here in California. But that doesn't mean it's been smooth. from my perspective or from my readers' perspectives, I still am getting emails and, you know, getting contacted from people who are encountering long wait times or, you know, the state of California paid $359 million for coveredca.com, which is the website, and there's a lot of glitches for that expensive of a website. You can't even reset your password online.
$359 million?
359, yes,
wow.
To Accenture. And, you know, part of that is for, is not just the one-time creation cost. That's also for Accenture to kind of keep tabs on it and keep it going for a little bit. But yeah, $359 million, it's a lot of money. And for that, you know, you had, gosh, I think it was in about a month ago that the website just went down over for several days. And you can't reset your password online. You can't do some very, very basic things. And people are, you know, kind of pulling their hair out over things that should have been dealt with before the thing came online. So it's been a frustrating experience for a lot of people.
We've also read that people have had to wait about 30 minutes to talk to a counselor.
That's an average. Some people are waiting more and some less. And that's if you call in.
Right. Well, because, and we should talk about that, because not everybody has a computer.
Exactly. You know, in fact, at this point, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little more, my advice would be don't try to do it online yourself. Don't try to, you know, with 1 week left to go, don't try to call in. Go to, there are dozens and dozens of enrollment events around the state where, you know, these trained people who have been trained by Covered California are helping people enroll in person, and insurance agents, hundreds if not thousands of them around the state have been certified by Covered California, and they don't charge anything more. They can either sign you up for the Covered California plan or a plan on the private market, and it would just be, my sense is it would be a lot easier to go to someone who can help you in person than to try to wait on the phone or, you know, wade through confusing stuff online.
Where can we find a complete list of where the events will take place over the next week?
Yep, absolutely. So if you go to Covered California's website, which is www.coveredca.com, and you, on the homepage, there's a little box that says Find Local Help. Mm-hmm. So you click on that, and that's where you can find, for instance, if you're interested in Medi-Cal, it'll give you the county human services agencies in your county, their contacts. It'll give you insurance agents who have been certified. It'll give you enrollment counselors who have been trained. Now, it's not as easy to find the events. What I do is coveredca.com/events. And then you can see a list of counties, and you can click on your county. So coveredca.com/events.
Okay, and there are, it looks like a number of events.
Oh, a lot. So let's go to San Francisco, for instance. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, so Monday, March 24th, there's an Understanding Healthcare Reform workshop put on by the Actors Fund. It looks like you needed a RSVP for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's also happening on Thursday.
Yeah, actually, and there's one right now. Like today, for example, at the Dublin Library, 1-4, 200 Civic Plaza in Dublin. So, yeah, so again, coveredca.com/events.
Exactly.
Okay, and so if you're having any problems signing up on the website, and if you're waiting too long and you're frustrated, it might be better to go to an event.
That's my recommendation.
Okay.
I don't know if Laurel would agree, but that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, I think that's a great recommendation.
Okay, well, we've got full lines, lots of questions, so let's hear from Rita in Oakland. Hi, Rita. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm concerned about an adult child I have in, lives in San Jose. And the thing of it is that she feels that if she's only eligible, she is eligible for Medi-Cal, that she's not even going to worry about it. She doesn't have a job. She's been unemployed for over a year. I don't know what she's getting by on now. At one time, she was SSI and was on Medi-Cal, and then she got a job and kept that for quite a while, and that, so she didn't qualify anymore. But she has difficulty holding jobs. She really should be on assistance. She's just not going to worry about it. I don't know where to go to do any of this. She says she doesn't have a computer. All she owns is a car, and the family has given her a place to live. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether I should worry about this or what to say to her. I mean, she's, you know, I'm kind of, well, maybe I, she said, well, when I need it, I'll just go, if I need any health care, I'll just go and apply for Medi-Cal when the time comes.
All right. Well, Rita, stay on the line in case our guests have another question for you. Okay. Laurel, do you want to take that?
Sure. Well, Rita's question actually raises a good point. The March 31st deadline is for covered California plans, but for Medi-Cal, people who are eligible can sign up all year round, any day. Rita's daughter, is right that if she needs it, she can sign up when she, you know, goes to the doctor or a clinic or a hospital. But it would be better if she signed up in advance because then she could get the preventive care she needs and get a regular doctor in a medical home. And I think the recommendations Emily gave earlier in terms of going to an enrollment event or you can sign up through certified enrollment counselors at local clinics, that there are ways to sign up that don't involve the internet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, I live in a different county, and so I just wanted to give her some advice or not be so worried. I shouldn't worry about her, but I do.
Of course.
I'm a mother.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she knows about where the local clinics are or any events. You know, as I say, she doesn't have she doesn't stay in connection with, like most of us do. She kind of isolates herself. Mm. So that's so she is right in that respect. If she's eligible, when she needs the health care, she'll be able to sign up then for Medi-Cal. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good luck, Rita. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go next to Chris in San Francisco. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I actually did sign up, and everything was surprisingly smooth, and I was expecting it all to go wrong. I went through, did the thing on my own. It all worked out really well, and I got a plan with the Kaiser Group, which is what I was aiming for. The problem came when I tried to make changes. It just was hell on wheels. I couldn't go back through the system, and every time I tried to contact either the Kaiser member services or through Cover California, I got the same message, which is we're experiencing heavy volume, call back in another lifetime. It just was enormously frustrating. And at one point I was put on hold, and it said your estimated, you know, wait time was I think 350 minutes or possibly eternity, whichever was shorter. And it was really frustrating. So it was not necessarily the actual onboarding, the signing up, that really went smoothly. It was the changes. Mm. And you know, getting this stuff right the first time, I don't know. Different in that I wasn't able to have it all correct the first time round, but I think I'm fairly average, and I can't imagine for some people that are not, you know, that are not terribly either computer literate or only have access to a telephone.
Right.
I can't see how they could actually make any changes.
So what happened, Chris? Did you end up making the changes, or?
I did. I went back, and finally, I listened to the member services announcement of Kaiser and realized what they were saying was, you know, don't call back when it's daylight. So I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And was able to actually get somebody who was probably as caffeinated as I was, and we were actually able to make those changes.
Mm. However, one
of the changes, which was adding my son onto the policy, even though that was done over now 6 weeks ago, I still haven't received any documentation, and just recently, 2 weeks ago, I received a thing in the mail saying I needed to supply all this information for verification, tons of information, which I did, driver's license, social, tax returns, bank statements, all kinds, and I did all of that, and they said I could deliver it, and they gave me an address. I drove down here in San Francisco to Mission Street, and nobody there knew anything about it. It was the food stamp place. and nobody knew anything about Calvert, California, or how to receive this stuff. They gave me a different, they gave me a post office box, which I then sent registered mail to with all this documentation. And then I get another note the next week saying, send me all the same information.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, sorry that happened, Chris. So, Emily, first off, if you do have to deal with some changes, how should you go about it? Call at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, that was, believe it or not, that was going to be one of my recommendations. I actually have dealt with Kaiser. I wrote a column about a woman who was in this Kafka-esque kind of maze with Kaiser and Covered California. And Kaiser did say themselves, we are open 24/7. Don't call during regular business hours if you can. You know, you'll have more options at night or on the weekend.
Wow.
So, that is one thing, but I mean, persistence, you know, maybe, I don't know if people at these enrollment events can actually help with changes, because a lot of times, Chris said, I think you might need to go to your actual insurer as opposed to Covered California. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know why it's so hard. I have received also complaints from, for instance, in one case, from naturalized immigrants who are so frustrated because Covered California is asking for their naturalization number, for instance, and they have their passports, they can give their social security numbers, they can prove they're here legally as citizens, and yet there's no bending by either Covered California or the federal government. It's amazing.
Well, thank you for calling in, Chris, with the tip to call in the middle of the night, because you might get an answer there. That is Emily Bazar. She's senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the Affordable Care Act. And Laura Lucia is a policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center. She's been doing research related to the act for more than 4 years. The deadline to sign up for health insurance is next Monday. If you don't sign up, you'll be fined $95 or 1% of your income, whichever is greater. We've got a couple questions about that. Patricia says, if you already have health insurance, do you still have to sign up, Laurel?
If you already have health insurance, you don't need to do anything and you won't owe a penalty. The definitions of what counts as insurance under the Affordable Care Act for purposes of the penalty are pretty broad. If you have insurance through your job, that counts, regardless of how generous that coverage is. If you have coverage through the individual market, that counts. If you have public coverage like Medi-Cal or Medicare, you won't owe a penalty. And there are some other specific types as well. But generally, if you have coverage, you don't need to do anything and you won't owe the fine.
Okay. And you can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org or give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Lori writes in and says, I signed up for a healthcare plan that meets the Obamacare standards. However, I was told my insurance will not start until 5/1, May 1st. And I was also told that although I have signed up by the deadline, I need to sign up by March 15th to have coverage started on April 1st to avoid the penalty. So what is correct? Do I need to be covered by April 1st, or am I okay if I applied for coverage by March 31st? Emily?
This, Lori, I think, last I heard, I think you're going to be okay even if it starts May 1st. You're technically under Obamacare. You're not. You're subject to the penalty if you go without insurance for more than 3 months. And so, yeah, in a year. So, yeah, you know, going through April without insurance would technically qualify you for the fine. But the last I heard, the federal government said they are going to be a little bit more flexible this year if people do sign up by the open enrollment deadline. So even I think she'll be okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the confusion comes from that they're treating this year differently than they're usually going to treat it.
How does the government know if you have insurance or not? Because I've had mine for years, and luckily I was grandfathered in, so I didn't get hit like so many friends did with higher premiums. But how do they know I have insurance? Because I'm not going through Covered California.
Well, partly when you file your 2014 taxes, like a year from now, you're going to be asked to attest to whether or not you have insurance. Ah. But also behind the scenes, the marketplaces are going to be sharing information with the IRS in terms of who's enrolled. And I don't know, you may know this, Emily, I'm not sure if the insurance companies outside of the exchanges may also share that information. Just yes or no, is this person covered and for which months?
You know, I apologize. I'm not that well versed on that aspect of things, and in fact plan to take this up for a future column. I think the last thing I read said that the IRS was probably not going to be the most stringent in the first year or so about, you know, going after people or trying to find out exactly who's signed up and who's not. Mm. So some of it's going to be, as Laurel said, much of it's going to be about you telling the truth on your own on your taxes.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point. I haven't heard that one before. Well, thank you for the email, Lori. We've got an email from Allison who says, I'm a long-term unemployed San Francisco resident and artist who recently got a part-time one-day-per-week job. I apparently don't qualify for Medicare but cannot afford the $85 a month insurance that the Affordable Care Act says is my cheapest option. As a matter of fact, I can no longer afford my rent and am considering moving back to L.A. What should I do? Laurel?
Well, if Allison's a San Francisco resident, at least for the short term, she could try enrolling in Healthy San Francisco if she's finding Covered California premiums unaffordable. But if she's unemployed...
Part-time, one day a week job.
Okay. So I guess I would think that that would make her eligible for Medi-Cal. I guess it depends on how much she's earning that day, but... She may want to make sure that she's not eligible for Medi-Cal. But if she isn't for some reason, she should look into Healthy San Francisco, which is a program unique to San Francisco, which is not health insurance coverage, but allows you to access health care within the city limits.
Right. And anything to add on that one, Emily?
One thing I would add is that if, as Laurel says, she's not eligible for Medi-Cal for some reason, one of the exemptions under Obamacare says that you don't have to have insurance if it's unaffordable for you. And the definition of affordability in this case is if your premiums would cost you more than 8% of your annual household income. So, like Laurel said, she should check on Medi-Cal, but then if for whatever reason she's not eligible, then if she might meet this, she might, you know, qualify for this exemption.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps. Thank you for writing. We've got an email from Denise who says, a measure of success of the act should not be determined by the number of enrollees, but the cost and the quality of the care. When one has to navigate three tiers of costs and numerous exchanges, this does not bode well for universal care so admired in other countries. Emily, what are your thoughts on that? Because there's the bronze, the gold, and...
I think that's an excellent point,
yeah.
in part because, you know, we're talking about March 31st as if this is it, this is the end, you know, kind of this will tell all about Obamacare. Absolutely not true. Let's see, you know, we're seeing people who are starting to use the insurance. We're seeing people, I'm hearing from people who, you know, didn't quite check out the networks or had trouble finding out that, you know, well, the hospital that they want to go to isn't in their network, you know, so what's the access going to be like? What's
right.
the quality of care going to be like?
Well, and hold that thought, because we're going to take a quick break, but I'd love to find out real stories after the break, because it's become so political and it's difficult to actually hear, it's rare to hear the real stories. So today we're talking about health care. You've got until next Monday to sign up. And if you have any questions or comments about this, we'd love to hear from you. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling toll-free 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or you can post your comment or question at yourcallradio.org, where you will also find links related to today's program. Coming up at 11 o'clock from the BBC, World Have Your Say, live here on KALW San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Tomorrow we'll have a conversation about the proliferation of domestic drones. According to the Federal Aviation Association, 7,500 small drones will be in U.S. skies by 2018. So how big is this market? Who's making the drones? Who's using them? We'll also talk about the legal and privacy issues associated with domestic drones. That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the Affordable Care Act. Next week, next Monday, is the deadline to sign up for health insurance. You will be fined $95 or 1% of your income, whichever is greater, if you don't sign up, although we're hearing that that might not take place this year, and apparently the IRS is going to be very lenient about this. So if you have any questions about healthcare, if you've signed up and you've actually used your insurance, what has your experience been like? What are the major changes you've seen? If you're waiting to sign up and you still have questions, we'd like to hear from you. Or if you don't plan to, why not? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. 5 million people have signed up so far. The number could reach about 6 million by next week's deadline. We're joined today by Laurel Lucia, policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center. She's been doing research on the Affordable Care Act for 4 years. Emily Bazar is a senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the act. And before the break, I read Denise's email saying that the success of this should be determined by the quality of the care and the cost, not the number of people who signed up. And Emily, you hear from people every week. What are some of the stories you're hearing?
Well, for instance, I heard from a woman, it might take me too long to actually pull up her email, but she's in the Central Valley, and she lives in Visalia and said that the only hospital in Visalia, I don't know if this is true, but she said was Kiwea Delta, and it's called Kiwea Delta, and she found out that the plan that she chose doesn't have Kiwea Delta in it. So, in this case, in order to the closest hospital, she told me, was at least half an hour away, that would be covered. And that's kind of a far if you need to get to the hospital quickly, you know. So, I mean, I'm hearing from people who are surprised about what the access issues, hospitals and doctors, and whether they're covered. Hearing people having problems with some billing issues, which is also, you know, part of the deal. You have to pay every month, and they're having problems with that. But I'm mostly still hearing questions. It's quite amazing. I've gotten a spurt of emails in this last week or two as the deadline approaches of very, very basic questions, the kinds of things that you would think, well, by now people should know. Like one of them, you're either a caller or emailer asked about, you know, if I've got Medi-Cal or if I've got insurance, am I covered or do I have to buy something else?
What are your thoughts about the lack of information? Because an AP poll, or no, I'm sorry, Kaiser Family Foundation poll, found that just about 36% said they knew a lot or some about the Health Care Act. Why do you think there's so much either misinformation out there or just not enough information at all?
I mean, part of it, I think, is human nature. People kind of put their heads in the sand until they have to deal with something. I mean, taxes are a great, great example of that, right? So that's one thing. Another thing, I'd be interested in hearing Laurel's perspective, but another thing is also that I think the law is complex. It's complicated. It doesn't treat everybody the same way. So if you make under this amount of money or you're in this situation, you would have different options. And as Denise mentioned, you've got, you know, 4 tiers of plans, bronze, silver, gold, platinum. They have different deductibles. They have different copays. They have different premiums. And so it's all a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in, and maybe people are intimidated. Mm.
Well, it sounds like there are so many problems with the website. Natalie just writes in and says, how do I find out where I can go sit down with a counselor to apply? Why hasn't the site been working for the past 2 months? I've tried regularly to access the Covered California page for months, and the furthest I've gotten is creating a login account. Beyond that, it simply tells me there's a system error. It doesn't matter what computer or browser I'm using, I get the same response, help. Hmm. Laurel? I know that this might be a pain, but the coveredca.com/events will list all the events in your area, and there are a number of events happening this week. That might be easier.
Right. Yeah. I definitely encourage people to attend an event, to find a certified enrollment counselor, insurance agent, or you know, call covered California, knowing that there may be long hold times, but you will eventually get through if you're persistent.
What sort of documentation should you bring to the event so you don't have to send in a bunch of information?
That's a good question. I'm going to throw that one to Emily and see if she knows.
Emily?
I'm going to throw that one back to you. you're going to have to at least have your estimated, you're going to have some information about your income. And so, you know, perhaps the last year's tax returns, that sort of thing, your Social Security number. What else would be required? I'm sorry, I actually don't know exactly what you need.
If you're an immigrant, going back to the earlier question, I would bring any kind of immigration documents you have.
And if you're a naturalized immigrant, try to see if you can find your naturalization number. Apparently, that's very important.
Okay.
And if you've had a change in income since your last tax return, which many people have, you may not need it, but to be safe, I would bring a recent pay stub to indicate why your income may have changed.
All right. So again, the website is coveredca.com/events, and there are a number of events happening this week. And then also, Natalie, if you want a counselor, you can also find a counselor at the Covered CA website. So thank you for writing, and I hope that helps. Mel says, I had a lot of trouble with the website. One question remained unresolved. I went to the site and was able to log into my account. I called Covered CA and was told there was no such account. I was promised to call back, but I'm still waiting 6 weeks since last contact. I still have health insurance, fortunately, but contacting the insurance company by phone is now impossible. Wait times have been in excess of an hour, and I have eventually hung up while still on hold. So is there any way to find your account?
This may be that password reset problem. I don't know for sure based on the information provided, but If you don't remember your password, which you need to be logged in to sign up for healthcare on coveredca.com. You have to call in and get help. Unfortunately, it's stupid.
Don't send you a password if you forget it like so many sites do?
You know, I've written a column exactly about this issue. It's like, you know, how is this 2014? We can't reset passwords online. I mean, you can with your bank even. Mm-hmm. But no, you can't on Covered California. You have to actually call in. And a customer service agent will help you with that. And they make a good point. How long are you going to wait to call in to reset your password?
If Kaiser's working 24/7 and it's best to call at 3 in the morning, is Covered California also working 24/7?
I don't think they're working 24/7, but I actually had a friend who had this password issue, and she tried calling during regular business hours and was on hold for a long time and wasn't able to get through. And then she heard that they were open on Sundays just for March, but I, at that point they hadn't been advertising it, and she was able to get through on a Sunday and change her password and then enroll online.
Okay, then I guess the best advice we can give is try to call on Sunday.
Or, at a certain point, Laurel, what do you think of this? I mean, at a certain point, could the person go and open, go to one of these events or go to an insurance agent that's certified and then try to create a new application?
I think so, because I think that they wouldn't be using their individual password to do that. It would be the enroller using the system.
And what a pain just to get your password to go to an event. I mean, maybe the other thing is if they open at 8 a.m., just call it 7:59:59 to try to get in, right? I mean,
do whatever you need to do, really. I mean, at this point,
what a mess. Well, thank you for calling in, and I hope you get your password. Let's go to phone calls. We have full lines with Emily Bazar, senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting, and Laura Lucia, policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center. Let's hear from Ruthann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruthann. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I don't have firsthand experience with Covered California, but I have some related experience. I've been reporting on healthcare for the KPFA Evening News for the past 7 years. And I spoke to, this is hearsay, the president of Physicians for National Health Program California, because I asked him about why he thought so many Californians in the beginning were finding that Covered California was way better than the glitches with healthcare.gov, and everyone was heralding how much better it was. But then, contrary to their expectations, they were finding that when they would go to a doctor office or a medical facility, that unexpectedly they found those providers weren't covered by Covered California. And that's called network narrowing. And what's speaking to this directly is one of your callers or emailers mentioned that she ran into this problem. And what Dr. Starzinski said was, quote, many patients are finding that doctors they think are on their health plan are finding out that they are not. This is because the doctors have been excluded from the network. The reason for this is that the networks are being fashioned so narrowly by insurance companies in order to expound payments to doctors and hospitals and in order to keep premiums low in the paid marketplace. And that is because they want to form a competitive edge against organizations like Kaiser Permanente, which has 25% of the market in the state. In order to do that, they have to drive down premiums. In order to do that, they have to pay their doctors and hospitals less. And in order to do that, they have to find doctors and hospitals who are willing to take lower payments. Many doctors and hospitals are not willing to participate on that basis, so the networks are narrowed, and that's why people are finding providers they think are on their plans are not.
All right. Well, and we talked about this whenever we do shows about Medi-Cal, because the payments are so low in California. But Emily, have you been hearing stories like this?
Yes. I mentioned a little bit earlier, people... You know, again, one other measurement of Obamacare success is going to be access, and not just under Medi-Cal, which is expanding significantly, but for the people who purchase insurance on the private market and especially on covered California. The networks are narrower. It is a cost savings issue. So, you know, we shall see. We shall see. I am hearing from people who have trouble, you know, finding the doctors and hospitals near them, or rather than finding trouble, having trouble finding them, they're surprised who's not in the network, I suppose is a better way to say it.
So I guess this is really difficult if you live in a small town where you have fewer doctors and fewer clinics, right?
Because
if, you know, with insurance, usually you log on if you use the internet for it, and you look at the doctors that would take your insurance. Mm-hmm. So doesn't Covered California act the same way? I mean, how would you go to a doctor who doesn't take your insurance?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Laura.
Well, I think there are two separate things going on here. First, there's a design issue. Some of the insurance companies in Covered California intentionally narrowed their networks. It remains to be seen whether they did it by choosing the high-quality, low-cost providers to try to, you know, improve value, or whether they were just, you know, going for the low cost. So that's something that I think people will be looking at this year. And there are network adequacy standards in both Covered California and Medi-Cal, although there are several bills in the state legislature right now to improve the amount of regulation and scrutiny on network adequacy and access issues. But the second thing that's going on is, I think, you know, the system isn't fully functioning yet in terms of providing information about which providers are in which network. And Covered California has had to take down some of their provider network lists. You can still go online and search for your individual doctor, but basically, like some of the other glitches we've been talking about, the system isn't working up to its full potential yet. And then there's been some bad information out there.
So what is the best way to go about this, Emily, so you don't waste your time? It seems like you should just call the doctor's office directly and say, do you take this insurance?
You can try that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm lucky to say that I don't have to deal with this myself. I would say, actually, the best answer you're going to get, or the one that you really will make you feel the most confident about going to that doctor, is to call your health insurer, but we know how easy that is. So, I mean, you can call the doctor, ask. However, there's a surprising amount of even confusion among doctors. If they are in a Blue Shield network that's non-covered California, they may think they're in the Blue Shield covered California network when they're not. So check with your insurer, unfortunately.
Well, thank you for calling in, Ruthann. Let's go next to Michael in San Francisco. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
If it's Mike, this is Michael in Oakland.
Oh, hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Great show. You should do it every day until the deadline.
we should.
I can tell you some of these stories. A friend of mine, never mind. I'm 60 years old. I have pre-existing conditions. I'm on COBRA. I'm paying $500 a month. This year, I may qualify for Medi-Cal, but if I don't, I will qualify for significant subsidies. Do you have to take Medi-Cal, and do they seek reimbursement?
Emily?
Yes. Okay, so if you are eligible, if you are considered eligible for Medi-Cal, for most people, you are ineligible for subsidies from covered tax credits from Covered California. So you can still go buy from Covered California, but you wouldn't benefit from those tax credits. But if you, for instance, let's say that you find that you're not eligible for Medi-Cal, but you're eligible for Covered California and get big tax credits, if for some reason, at some point, which happens all the time, people's salaries and incomes fluctuate, if you kind of fall into Medi-Cal, I think what you're asking, Michael, is no, you will not owe those tax credits back, assuming you were telling the truth. And that's something I got from the Western Center on Law and Poverty. I'm not quite sure how they can tell you were telling the truth about all that. But assuming you were honest when you filled out your applications, you shouldn't have to pay back in that instance only.
And I would also note for Michael and others who are enrolled in COBRA, if he's not eligible for Medi-Cal and is eligible for Covered California, he should be sure to sign up by the March 31st deadline, because the only way you can switch from COBRA to Covered California coverage outside of the open enrollment period is if your COBRA coverage expires, like if you're no longer eligible for COBRA. You can't decide in the middle of the year that you'd get cheaper premiums in Covered California, so you want to switch. So you would need to do that this week.
Michael?
Yeah, that's not what Covered California said, because I called them and asked them that very question. They said it was a special life-changing event if I drop COBRA. That's what they said.
Not if you drop it. Laurel's right. Only if it expires.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you for calling, Michael. Let's go next to Jack in San Francisco. Hi, Jack.
I guess my situation is somewhat similar to Michael's. I have health insurance at this time. It's kind of on a retirement plan. But, my income level, I'm thinking, might, change. And I'm just wondering, how does that apply to someone who has Covered California? And then my fear is that later on down the road, as my financial situation improves, it's going to be more expensive than what I would get on my retirement plan.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions like that last time around because a lot of people's income fluctuates. Emily, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. Yes, if you're, make your best guess when you're signing up for Covered California of your 2014 income. But if your income changes or diverges from that and during the course of the year, call Covered California immediately to get your tax credits kind of and your premiums adjusted. Otherwise, you might be hit with some sticker shock come tax time, because you will either owe money or be owed money, depending on so let's say you make a lot more money, you're going to qualify for less tax credits, and you're going to have to pay those back at the end of the year if you don't adjust. The opposite is true. If you make less money, you might be eligible for more tax credits. So I hope that makes sense. Contact Covered California immediately if your income changes.
But it sounds like you're enrolled in a retiree plan right now.
He dropped.
Oh, you dropped it. Okay. And that's good.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Jack. Hope that helps. We have an email from Kevin who says, I started rolling in December. I got stuck because I didn't have proof of residency or documents proving my income. I finally got my W-2s and my license and uploaded them in March. But according to my login on the Covered CA website, my check marks go up to eligibility, but the enrollment box still is not checked. When I go to manage verifications and find that the two uploads were initiated but not submitted, am I wrong or is there something else that's needed? I can't tell. Do you know about this one? Either of you?
I apologize. I don't know. I don't know on this one.
Yeah, and I can't tell from the question.
Well, it sounds like initiated, but not it seems like submitted is needed in this case. I mean, I think you might have to call Covered CA.
I think on this one, it sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Good luck. What happens if you do have an account and it's clear that you tried to sign up by next Monday, but something happened? Are you going to be fined or?
No, probably not. I think that they will make some exceptions for people who have begun the process, but because of technical glitches have experienced, you know, some difficulties. Laurel, do you know if they have an exact amount of time that they're willing? I know Nevada, for instance, has had a lot of problems, and they have voted to give people 60 more days, which is a huge amount of time. I don't think it'll be that in California, but I do have a sense that if they've begun and are experiencing roadblocks, that they will get a little bit of a, you know, grace period.
I haven't heard any specific timeline.
Given the mess that we're dealing with, I bet even the fine process is going to be a mess, right? I mean, I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but it sounds like it might be, they might send it to the wrong person, or you might have health insurance, you might be fined. I guess we'll have to do a show about that in a couple of months.
Well, it's going to be done on your taxes.
Mm.
So it would be paid kind of through your taxes.
Okay.
As Laurel says that, you know, it would ask you if you had health insurance. If you checked no, then it would say, you know, you need to, it'd be part of your tax process. And we all know how fun that is. I mean, it's not going to make it any easier. Let's just say that, so.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. I hope that helps. It sounds like you might have to just call Covered CA. Let's go next to Melody in Napa. Hi, Melody. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I went to one of the events last week in Napa, which was wonderful. Both of my sons that are over, one son is 23 and one is 29, had applied for Covered California and then received letters back that their income didn't work for that, but that they were probably eligible for Medi-Cal, and that more papers would be coming in the mail. Nothing ended up coming, so my younger son actually went to one of the events, and it had like an inch by inch notice in our paper about it, but I was glad we went because they were able to go through immediately, ascertain that he could receive Medi-Cal, and then, you know, he needed to go to that office. But my older son didn't do that, and I'm wondering, just by virtue that he applied and received that letter, is that enough for him to forego penalties?
That should make him count as having a coverage for the purposes of the tax penalty. I don't know if Emily has anything to add.
I'm sorry. So he did get, I may have misunderstood you. I thought you said he didn't get any confirmation, but then you said he did?
No, she just dropped. Sorry.
Okay. Oh. If he did get confirmation that he's enrolled in Medi-Cal, that should be enough. I thought that's what she meant, but I'm not sure.
Okay, but it should be enough.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Melody. Hope that helps. We have time for a few more calls. Let's go to Ned in San Francisco. Oh, is Melody back? Oh, hi, Melody. Did you hear the question? Sorry.
This is Ned in San Francisco, if you wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, go ahead, Ned. Sorry about that.
So my situation is this. I get insurance through my wife, through her work. And I'm wondering, I tried briefly to find out whether I could get a similar or the same health net plan I have through you know, through Covered California or through an exchange. And it was like really tough for me to figure out how I could compare what the cost of doing it myself would be as opposed to staying on her plan, which is pretty expensive. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in this situation.
Well, the way the Affordable Care Act works is that you're only eligible for premium tax credits through Covered California or the marketplaces if you don't have affordable job-based coverage. And the way affordable is defined is whether or not the employee is offered coverage just for themselves that costs less than 9.5% of their household income. And so even if the coverage is very expensive for family coverage. If it's affordable for your wife under that standard, for her to enroll alone, then you're considered to have affordable job-based coverage. So you may not be eligible for premium tax credits, but you could enroll in Covered California at full cost. And depending on how much her employer charges for family coverage, it's possible that you may be able to get a more affordable plan without the premium tax credits.
Based on the percentage relative to household income.
Well, if you're not getting any tax credits, you would just pay the price that is on Covered California.
Right.
It wouldn't be relative to your income.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for calling in, Ned. Emily, I have to ask this question just because there's so much confusion. If or when the day comes and we actually have universal health care, do you think that it'll be as confusing?
I don't know. That's a bit of a loaded question. So I don't know. Are we going to have universal health care? When's that going to happen?
Maybe in, I don't know, 50 years? Who knows? But
one thing I would note on that point.
That would just be speculation.
It's just, I mean, it's a $359 million website and people cannot get a password sent back to them. It just doesn't make sense.
I think it's going to take a few years for people to learn about the new system, to understand what they're eligible for the system to...
A few years?
Well, what we've seen from past insurance expansions, like when the state children's health insurance program started or Massachusetts health reform, it took between like 3 and 5 years for enrollment to level off. And so there is a kind of phase-in period, and we're in that. And one other thing I would note is in 2017... The Affordable Care Act gives states the option to kind of design their own system, to take the federal money and do things in a way that's better for that state. There are constraints on that, but that's one way California could get to more universal, more simple health care.
All right. Well, we will definitely continue having this series and answering your questions. Laura Lucia is a policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, and Emily Bazar is a senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. How are domestic drones being used in the United States? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the proliferation of domestic drones. According to the Federal Aviation Association, 7,500 small drones will be in U.S. skies by the year 2018. We'll discuss the legal and privacy issues associated with domestic drones. How big is this market and who's using drones? And what do you want to know about domestic drones? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.